Well, good morning out there in Rio Land. What a day the Lord has made. Welcome in on this July 19th, 2024. Welcome into 91.5 Litchfield Hardinsburg, 91.1 Highsville Glasgow, and 98.3 Owensboro, Kentucky. It's such a joy to be with you guys as is every single weekday morning, 7 to 9 a.m. Central Time here on the Box 2 Radio Network. We're just stirred over what God's doing. I know he's doing some amazing things, and we're just excited to be a part of it. And we're excited for this July 19th, 2024, because this is the only July 19th, 2024 you'll ever have in your life. The only one that you'll ever have. This July 19th, 2024, you'll never have another one. This is it. And today is the day that the Lord has made. And we're going to rejoice, and we're going to be glad in it, and we're going to believe for the impossible. Because we serve a God of the impossible. Miss Hannah, how are you doing?
Doing good.
Hallelujah.
Did you get a chance to watch the...
No, I was busy till late. And then by the time I didn't get home
Why am I going blank on the... It's not the rally, it's the...
It was the Republican
convention
speech.
Convention.
Yes. I haven't got to listen to J.D. Vance's or... former President Trump's yet. I haven't got to listen to either one. I didn't get home from doing things last night till almost 9 o'clock. So when I actually got in the door, I was a little bit late.
I knew you had a later night, so I didn't know if you got a chance to.
Yeah, but I will eventually look at both of them. I listened to some of the highlights of J.D. Vance's from Wednesday night, but I have not listened to President Trump's.
I haven't listened to Vance's, but I listened to Trump.
Yeah. So I definitely will. I know the Republican National Convention, I think it ended last night. I think last night was the last night of it. And, you know, President Trump is the official candidate for the Republican Party now. Mm-hmm. All the papers are signed. And he's the official candidate. We're awaiting the Democratic National Convention, too. I think it's just in 2 or 3 weeks. And
I would like to see what you think about it, but I thought that he seemed different.
Mm-hmm. I'll watch it, and I will.
Like, in a good way. Like, I feel like he seemed more, I guess more humble than mm-hmm. usual.
Yeah. I will definitely look at it, and I will give some opinions Monday morning. I know it's late into it, but if anybody still wants their opinion. but it is... Yeah, I know the Republican National Convention has been I did watch bits and pieces of it, but I haven't got to watch too much of it. And then, like I said, the Democratic one will be right in the corner. And that's the one that a lot of people's kind of eager for, not for the speeches, but see exactly what's going to go down. Like, is President Biden going to be the next candidate? Because more and more are calling him to retire and to step aside. I read one report and from one news station the other day that even postulated that even, you know, former President Obama is now even in that crew saying, you know, it may be time. So I don't know if I've heard him say that publicly or not yet out of his own mouth, but I have had seen the reports that even he is saying it now. So, it's interesting. Now President Biden, I did read a report yesterday where basically said, you know, he's not going to drop out. For the most part, unless there's like 3 or 4 different things that could happen that make him. One is, he said, God Almighty himself tells him to drop out. another one was something like a medical diagnosis or something like that, a real one, and he would. And then I think there was a couple other things he said, but it's interesting. It's definitely interesting. And so the Democratic parties, I don't remember a time, and I'm sure there's been a time, but in my lifetime, I don't remember a time where you're this close to the convention and you still are uncertain who your candidate's going to be. Like, usually by this time, you already got your signs out. You already got the officials' pushes and all that kind of stuff. And this time, it's what do you do? So it's definitely you can see a difference in the parties at this moment. One party's really behind their candidate and the other party's very divided. And so we'll see how that plays out in the election coming up here Got a lot of VBSs going on. I've seen pictures and reports from Clarkson Community, and Brother Greg was talking to us yesterday about it. I think they said that they had 129 kids last night. So praise God for that. Way to go, Clarkson Community. Awesome. We're praying for God to move strongly through your all's VBS, and what exciting things to have that many kiddos there laughing and playing and learning about Jesus. And I got to see the pictures of the sanctuary.
It looked awesome. I saw them too.
You all did a fantastic job with your sanctuary. Congratulations on all that. I saw Brother Greg's picture of his wife had posted, Miss Brittany posted about, you know, how can a lobster and a cowboy list look this good together, or something like that. It was a really cute, awesome pictures, and just a wonderful couple, just a wonderful godly couple, and what a blessing they are to the body of Christ, and what a blessing Clarkson Community is to the body of Christ here in Litchfield and Clarkson and the Grayson County area. And you guys are just knocking it out of the ballpark. Congratulations. So I think they have another night tonight, New Life Vision. I haven't got to see pictures of them yet, and I haven't heard any reports, but Pastor Chris McGuffin over there in the Hardin County area, they're having another one tonight. Let's see here. I know Faith Redeemed Church of God's having one next week. Hudson Community Church is having one next week. I still got to get that information about Hudson Community. They sent that information in. I apologize, Hannah. I should have had that to you by now.
Was that for a VBS?
Yes. I will find it during the break and give you all the dates and times. Ours starts here at Bethel Fellowship. Ours starts the 23rd next week and runs all the way through Saturday. When our commencement will be, we do have the inflatables coming back. We've got a tent, a large tent that's going to be set up for anybody that might get hot or if it does storm or something like that. It's calling for a brief storm, but I think it's just like a passing one. So if it storms for 20 minutes, we're going to be right back on the inflatable afterwards after the lightning clears. Don't worry, parents. But we're going to have a great time. We'll probably have some cornhole set up out there. We love to make that last day a day for the families, the church, and everybody to come out. Everybody's welcome on that last day. If we need more grill-out food, we'll send Jacob to get more food. No problemo. And so,
and if you want to register, pre-register, you could still do that up until time. The link is on our app.
Yeah. Last year, we had 10 pre-registered, ended up with 130 kids a night. So this year, we're already at 60. I think Heather said the latest statistics, like 63, 64, 65, somewhere, I think, in there that we have pre-registered. And honestly, a lot of those are teenagers. That's really exciting to see. Usually, it's hard to get teenagers involved in VBS, mm-hmm. but the bulk of those pre-registration are teenagers. And because last year, that was probably the biggest crew that said we loved it last year was the teenagers.
Wow.
And so we go from youngsters all the way up through teenagers. And anybody, any kids welcome, does not have to attend Bethel Fellowship whatsoever. All kids are welcome, and we're just so excited. We've got a foam party one night, I think we're doing. We got a dance party one night during the big thing. We got some surprises and costumes and skits and all that before we get into, you know, every night there's different routines of, there's crafts, there's music. You help with the worship part, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do a different song with them every day that corresponds to what they're learning about in their lesson. But we do the same theme song with them every single morning, or not morning, but the first big opening, so that they will all know it.
And then at Saturday at 1 for the commencement, they get to do the dance, and they mm-hmm. get to
they
show what they've
learned. They each get to learned. Do their own song, too.
Yeah. And each night they get teaching in the Bible, and then they get some charges.
There could possibly be singing this time, because there is a song that's a little bit slower, and it's more of a like a worship song than like a upbeat mm-hmm. dance. So if any of them are interested, we can have the words for them and stuff if they want to sing. So.
Excellent. Well, it's going to be exciting. So if you want to pre-register your kiddos for that, you can too as well. Still got room, plenty of room. We'll accommodate as many kids as we need.
So this foam party is interesting. Yeah, I like foam parties.
I don't know nothing about it. I just know we're having one. That's Heather and Sarah. They're handling all that. I know we've got a big bubble machine, and I know that Heather and Sarah is going to meet a gentleman tonight that's going to let us borrow whatever we want, and he has a ton of stuff. So we're looking, now this is the rumor, we're looking at an icy machine, and we're looking at something else. That's just a rumor. I can't confirm or deny that. That's just a rumor. So if it doesn't happen, I didn't lie to you. We're just there's some possibilities happen out there. So we're just excited for it. It's we're gearing up, and so excited for what God has in store for us next week here. And then, as well, let's go ahead and make sure we get some of these other announcements in here, too, because there's a lot of exciting announcements happening around the community.
Gold City Quartet on East Main. Food trucks will open at 5, and they say to bring a chair and enjoy the show. That's on East Main Friday.
What kind of food trucks are usually there? You ever been to something?
Yeah, normally barbecue, those little spirally potatoes, you know.
The crazy potatoes.
Yeah, crazy potatoes.
I may drive there just for that.
Sometimes the pizza that Barrel and Swine or something.
Mm-hmm.
Certain kind of special pizza sometimes set
swine,
up.
Swine, that's pig.
Bacon pizza.
I love bacon pizza. You had me at Swine. All you have to do is say Swine and I'm there.
Yeah, and then usually, I don't know if there'd be ice cream or not, because the ice creamery is really close, but sometimes they have food trucks too.
Let's go back to that swine. What kind of swine pizza?
I don't know. Probably bacon, sauce, all the works.
I'm hooked on swine because even the crazy potatoes, it was like whenever I ate the crazy potatoes at the fireworks over at Friends of Ruff, there was the potato, cheese, and bacon, and then there was barbecue on top.
Oh,
so
yeah,
there was
I'm sure they do that kind of stuff. The pulled pork's always good.
There's swine and beef. It was awesome. I was getting my animal kingdom and all of that.
Well, that is, don't know for sure. Like, these are just, I don't know for sure what food trucks will be there, but I just know that those have been there before. Friday, August 2nd at 6 is when the show starts. Food trucks open at 5. And then Emmanuel Ministry Church Camp Meeting. That's with Brother Philip Trent. That will be Friday, August 2nd through August 3rd, and that's 6:30 for those nights. And then they also want to extend a welcome to join them on Sunday mornings at 10:30. We have the address for that on our app. And then the Creekside Worship Gathering in Bonnyville with Brother Dwayne Kidd, that will be Saturday, August 17th from 5 to 8. And then the Grayson County Amphitheater Worship Night. This one's in August as well. Monday, August 19th through August 21st. And that's 6:30 p.m. nightly. And that'll be with the Goose Trees. And then some others will be there as well, leading worship and bringing a word.
Amen. Well, we are in the book of James still. We were rolling yesterday. I mean, rolling. And not rolling our boat, but rolling through the book of James. Roll your boat. All right. Let's see. But we got through 4.
I'm tabbed at 12.
4:12. Okay. Man, we're booking it. There is only one lawgiver and one judge. He is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? We did talk about that yesterday. I think we just maybe not read all that. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your ignorance. All such boasting and evil is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. So now he's talking about boasting for tomorrow. Now I remember when I was young, I never thought about something like this. It was just like you always expected tomorrow to come because you always thought you could just make it till tomorrow. And I think what James is trying to get to this point is this, like, if you just say, hey, see you tomorrow, all right, like, and you don't say, Lord willing, I think that's like, I don't want to get just a repetition with this. What I think James is trying to get to is, don't let pride dictate your life to think you're bigger, better, and you're always going to exist because you're just that good. You know, I'm going to be here tomorrow. I'm going to be here the next day. Hallelujah. I think James is, again, trying to get us to humble ourselves, because that is what he's been trying to do for the most of the book, is humility, trust, edification, getting ourselves out of the way. Because he's talking about this evilness, this sinfulness, and he's saying, look, tomorrow you're going to trade, you're going to make a profit. Tomorrow I'm going to make money, I'm going to do this. And everything's about I. And he's wanting us to switch to Lord, 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 Lord. If the Lord wills, we're going to make more money tomorrow. If the Lord wills, we may not make more money tomorrow. If the Lord wills, I will be here tomorrow. Because we all know stories of somebody that just went somewhere doing something. Like, I'm reminded of, I know this is like a weird one, but I'm reminded of some like stories of people who go to theme parks to have a lot of fun. What do you go to a theme park for? Fun, family, spend time, fellowship, laugh, goof, eat food, ride rides. You're just going there. You are fully persuaded that you'll just go back to work tomorrow. Yet there's been people who go to theme parks that lost their life in rides. And we never are promised tomorrow. And so I think James is saying, let pride and arrogance be out the door and operate in humility and trust, and that it's whatever the Lord wills, because I'm going to live in today. Today is the day I'm going to live. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day I'm going to humble myself under the mighty hand of God. Mm-hmm. Today is that day. And if the Lord wills me to be tomorrow, praise him. But I'm not going to be so arrogant to think I will live forever and let evil continue in my heart because I'm not getting right today, because I believe there's always going to be a tomorrow.
Yeah. I'm kind of reminded too, like, if we think that we can control whether we're going to live or not, like if we do enough good things for, like if we make enough good choices, mm-hmm. then we're good. But, you know, unexpected things happen all the time. That maybe it's not going to a theme park. Like maybe it's, I mean, look at what happened at the rally. You know, nobody was expecting that. Anything can happen. And I think that's kind of what this is talking about too, is because if we say like, well, we're going to go here, you know, we don't know what's going to happen when we go there. Mm-hmm. And it makes me kind of think about COVID too, because there were so many that, I mean, even after everyone had the clear to be back out, like, wouldn't leave their house, thinking like they were going to be able to escape the sickness or whatever. And a lot of people were afraid of death from that. And then we see, or at least I saw, a lot of people who actually kept themselves isolated got sick immediately. And they thought that they could control it, but they actually ended up getting sick because they didn't have that immunity built up.
Yeah.
So it just, yeah.
Well, I think you made me think about something there, because I guess I never, like, and I don't know if James is specifically saying this, but the principle's there to instruct us. Like, there's some people that think they're going to eat so well and exercise so much that it's almost like they don't even need the Lord's hands of protection on them. They don't, like, all right, Lord, I got this part. I'm okay. And they're living outside of God's providence and providence and protection and shield. And then, like, you know, we still see where people eat the absolute best they can and work out all the time and still end up with cancer,
mm-hmm.
or still end up with a disease. And I think it's point to us that we really, like, the Tower of Babel should have shown us something. I mean, we can have all the greatest ideas and build a tower to heaven, but it's never going to be sufficient without mm-hmm. him. He is our source. And
yeah,
and it's always going to fall short. And
I think that's the biggest thing. It always comes back to balance, because, you know, if we just ignore the things that the Lord, you know, the wise decisions he's prompting us to make, then that's on us. But also, if we, just like you're saying, if we try to do it in our own strength, we'll see that it always ends up failing.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Lord will honor us when we think of it as stewardship over our mm-hmm. the temple, and we're trusting him, like, Lord, I'm gonna try to do my part the best I can, but I really need you to help me, and I need you to do your part.
But when the pride comes in there to think that we can live for, you know, we can make the best decisions to be able to live forever or live as long as possible, that's when it comes in. Because, you know, that's really a wake-up call to people who have done everything possible in their own strength and then still end up with the thing that they were trying to avoid.
Yeah. I mean, I do think we should. I mean, I have been convicted. I think the Lord is really concerned about us eating right and taking care of our body, especially when we know to do right and we don't do it. That is sin. That's what James just said. But at the end of the day, too, like, I will never eat so well. I don't need him tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where, and then also, like, you can even get into probably some thought patterns of worry and anxiety, that maybe it's not so much pride that you're like, I'm going to make it tomorrow because I'm going to do so good. I'm going to make it. I don't
anxiety.
You know, and that sometimes at one point, we may never admit it, but in practicality, we're almost living like we're the Titanic. God himself can't sink us.
Mm.
And I think we have to be careful of that, because I don't know about you, but the thing I'm learning is I have to utterly lean on him every single day.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care how well put I think I am together. I realize, and you know what is one thing that makes me do that more? I think about it, parenting. Like, parenting, I'm learning more and more I have to lean on every single day, because we're having issues out of one of our kids right now that we thought a lot of these issues were gone, and they are coming back around, and it's just so, it's stressful, and it's like, I thought this was done. But I think too, like, you may think you have it all together as a parent, but there's never a time where you won't need to utterly lean on him. Because even leaning on him is leaning on his way. So I need to get into the word and figure out how do I be a better dad? How do I be a better mom? How do I be a better husband? How do I be a better wife? I got to utterly lean on him, and I can't let pride get in there so much to think I don't need him and I don't need his ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I think really this is like the center of what James is saying. Not so much that every time I say, like, Hannah and Ethan was over when we was eating the pineapple. I didn't eat the pineapple, but I ate the fajitas. And whenever y'all left, you know, we just said probably say, see you tomorrow or something like that. Like, I don't think it's necessarily just a sinfulness to say, see you tomorrow, and we left, Lord willing. I think it's a heart thing that he's trying to get to it. Like, we understand, like, Lord willing, if he don't come back, Lord willing, if something don't happen in my sleep, Lord willing, something don't happen on y'all's walk home. Like, you know, there's an utter dependence on him to protect us and to guide us. And I don't know about you, but I do not want to be God's co-pilot.
Mm-mm.
If he's flying the plane, I'm taking my hand off the wheel.
Yeah.
And I'll just be in the back in the first class enjoying the ride. And that's kind of where I think James is saying, like, don't let evilness be your guide. Don't let pride and arrogance, and don't let this.
And I think he wants us to ask for protection and ask for these things too. Because to just go through and not talk or communicate or, you know, remind the Lord or ask the Lord of these things, it would be prideful, I think.
Mm-hmm.
To just go through and just expect, you know.
Yeah.
Everything's going to go smooth. Everything's going to be fine. Because we know there's wiles of the devil that come. We know that there's people have free will. They're making their choices in a sinful world. And we can't control that. So, I mean, all we have is to be able to lean on him.
Yeah.
That's our only option.
Yep. Well, I think we got time for a couple of verses in 5. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for the miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches have rotted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver has corroded, and their corrosion will be evidence against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have laid up treasures in the last day. Oh, goodness. Let's just go ahead and read this and we'll talk about it. Behold, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, are crying out against you. And the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lords of hosts. You have lived on the earth in luxury and in self-indulgence. You have fattened your hearts In a day of slaughter, you have condemned and murdered a righteous person. He does not resist you. Whew, that is strong.
Wow.
That is strong. And I think that's a wake-up call for anybody. Because I think this is the thing we got to remember. And I'm just saying this. If the people he was writing to right here, we as Americans probably would be.
Yeah.
Because we as Americans are rich. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're on a very fixed income, such as Social Security, or if you're making... There's richer people and there's not so rich people, but pretty much if you live in America...
You are.
You're rich according to the world. And so, like, we have to take things like he's saying here and take them to heart. Like, I mean... Whenever he says, behold the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud and are crying out against you, and the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You have lived the earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. You are condemned. You have condemned and murdered the righteous, but he does not resist you. Like, I think that should make us all think. Is there things we've withheld from people that they are deserving of? Is the cries of the harvester reaching the ears of the Lord's host so that we who are living in luxury and self-indulgence and just continue our fat in our own heart and not care about those around us, when does that become sinful? Like, that is, and James here is telling us, like, you should be howling in misery for mercy, I believe, and grace and forgiveness and repentance, that, because I don't want to, you know, I think it was Eli who didn't raise sons, but just, he had sons, but he never mm-hmm. raised them. And he got so fat, like, you know, he got fat on the pleasures and the riches of this world, but he failed to raise up sons. And in America, we are very prone to luxury and self-indulgence. And I don't think it's wrong to have things, but I think it is wrong if things have you. And I think it is sinful at that point if we don't operate in generosity and giving and lending to others what God has been blessing with us mm-hmm. and giving to others in generosity and goodness of heart. So,
yeah, I mean, I feel like that even when we're not like struggling or not struggling, you were saying if we have, even if we don't have a whole lot, but like, our needs are met mm-hmm. and like we're not hurting for anything, like we're not doing amazing, maybe like we don't have all the extra, but we're also, all our needs are met, everything's pretty good, like the Lord has you know, kind of spoken and convicted me, kind of changed my mindset. I feel like I used to live in that like kind of the fear we were talking about mm-hmm. not with the eating and stuff, but with money, because I didn't make a lot, so I thought, well, I can't give anything. Like, if I'm not making, not that I can't give anything, but I can't give a lot. I can't give sure. that much or whatever. And the Lord has shown me otherwise, like, times that he has led that on me. Or even people that I know do not have a lot, and they're giving, and then the Lord honors that obedience
yeah.
and provides. He might not return that exact amount. He might not give more to that person, but he's always going to take care of us when we're obedient to him.
Yeah. And I think James here too is talking like, let's not so love money that we're willing to abuse people and neglect people and do people wrongly.
Yeah.
Because even here, you have condemned and murdered the righteous person who does not resist you. I don't think that's really talking about the Lord. I think he's saying the righteous person's not going to go about trying to avenge himself. He's not going to come against you. Like, I know there's times in my life where that I know the Lord has instructed me to take the higher road when somebody's done me wrong. And I'm not trying to, this ain't a pity party. Like, this is like, just being honest, like, somebody's done me wrong. Somebody's not giving me something I deserve. I'm not going to take him to court. I'm not going to. Like, we had one situation happen in one of our kids' birth that a lot of people has said, you know, you could have a medical malpractice suit, you could have all this. And I'm just like, I just really felt by the Holy Spirit just to celebrate that my kid's still alive, mm-hmm. to celebrate life, that he intervened, that he did the miracle.
and not to get greedy and not to get haughty and not to get arrogant and continue to be a light and an example. Because Corinthians is really, Corinthians is actually really strong about lawsuits. And especially when brother sues brother, that should not be part of the body, because he said, why should we let corrupt, unjust judges fix outcomes for us whenever you have the body of Christ? And so for brother to brother, the body of Christ should be able to reconcile with each other without having to bring novel lawsuits in there. Now, some things like whenever we weren't allowed to fly the Christian flag, I think it was Boston. That's a different kind of lawsuit. Like, that's saying, no, we're going to have these rights. But even that, I think we can take it too far.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I want us to make sure that as righteous people, we have a good testimony and we have a good reputation. And I think that's what James is talking about there. Paul was talking about Corinthians, and even James here is like, make sure your reputation of being fair and good and right. Because if you're making money by fraud and deception and even embezzlement, I mean, we're seeing this all the time in churches, embezzlement. Like, James is talking about, that's evil.
Yeah.
And that's sinful.
I know that this definitely happens in our country, but we were talking about yesterday some other countries that, you know, just treat their workers terrible.
Mm-hmm.
That it's abuse, really, mm-hmm. what happens, and it makes me think about that, too.
Yeah. Well, that's good. We're going to finish James next week, Hannah. So I guess we'll have to I know we talked about going to Romans next. So I guess we'll have to figure that out for sure if we are. Friday question number one, sponsored by the Sicilian Bank. At what time of the day was Jesus crucified? At what time of the day was Jesus crucified? We'll be right back here after the break. Here is I Believe by Phil Wickham. All right, we are back here on this beautiful day in the neighborhood. Whoever's calling, I'm sorry, I cannot answer exactly at this moment. Call back in just a minute during the Kingdom Corner. Maybe it's an answer for our trivia question. So I apologize. I will, if you'll call back right when Hannah starts Kingdom Corner here in a minute, I'll be glad to answer and get your answer for that trivia question. I apologize. Hudson Communities Church, I looked it up and that starts the next Monday through Friday, 6 to 8:30 p.m. as well. So a lot of VBS is going on, a lot of different things. So plenty of opportunities for people to come out there and be a part. So kids can be somewhere learning about Jesus next week. Amen. And then also I wanted to say, if you've not been listening to the 11 o'clock hour, why not? No, I'm just kidding. It's been such a joy to be a part of that. We're praying in the right person to come in and be a DJ, because this pastor DJ is not doing, it's not my, I'm not very good at it. I just say a name and go for it. But I am enjoying the music and I am enjoying being a part of it. And I get to be a part of it for a while now, even if we have somebody in mind that may start taking over, but even if they do, I'll still be with them for a long time. A while, I don't know about a long time, but however long it takes to learn the computer system and all that, because it does take a little bit. So, but anyways, all that to say this, if you have a song request you want to hear, it's kind of the intentional, newer contemporary, and we are working on our music. You're probably going to start seeing some drastic changes as early as next week as a total, not just the 11 o'clock hour, but just a lot of the music's filtered through the day. And we're even looking about adding another hour spot of DJ time, maybe 11 to 1, and then moving Salt Covenant to a different hour. So we're gonna see what happens there. We've just had so much feedback from the family on how much they're loving that time spot. So keep giving us feedback. If you have a song request, we'd love to get that in and play it for you at all possible. excuse me. And so 270-230-6337. As well as if you are just wanting to ask a Bible question or have a topic you want us to discuss here on the morning broadcast, we definitely love to hear from you as well, too, because interaction makes it go so much better. Again, 270-230-6337. All right, Miss Hannah, you ready for your Kingdom Corner for this mm-hmm. morning?
In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 through 16. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Man, I just love this scripture. And I think other versions say, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, which bold and confidence would be the same thing here. But this is such good news. And I love that in the Greek, the word have, since we have a great high priest, that word means to hold or possess. So we're holding it. Let us hold the priest who is passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us possess him. Not that we have control over him or anything like that, but having something, holding something, possessing something means you're holding on to it. You are close to that. You are in a intimate relationship. And I love that, to hold the great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. And we do. We have this intimate relationship available to us with the King of Kings, the only one actually who is able to sympathize. That's the word they use here, but we could also use the word relate. He's the only one who can truly relate to everything that we've been through and everything that we will ever go through, because the word is true. The word is complete truth, and it says, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. So that tells us that there is nothing in this world that he cannot understand. He understands every single temptation. He understands every single situation that we're walking through. There is not, there's certain things that we don't understand, like what happened at this rally, or whenever we lose a loved one, and we have no explanation why. But Jesus, he understands every single situation, and he also, his ways are higher than ours, so he can see all things. But I think we need to remember that he has walked through everything that we could possibly walk through, and he has been tempted in every way, but yet without sin. So we can never say, well, God, he's just so far away. I mean, Jesus, he doesn't get it. He doesn't understand. We literally cannot. That would be a lie if we said that statement, because the word is saying otherwise. And to me, that's good news, and that's comforting. And so this high priest is able to have compassion. This high priest is, because of his vast love for us, we are able to confidently and boldly draw near to his throne of grace. That is love. That is vast love right there, to be able to boldly come into the throne of grace of someone who is holy and is without sin, because none of us are without sin. The only way that we're able to enter boldly and be restored with the Lord is because of his blood, because we have that that covering of his blood. And so because of that, he wants intimacy with us. And I just love this scripture, because it's saying all of this about how he is our great high priest, and we know that he's making intercession for us. There's other scripture that says that he's making intercession for us. So he's not just disconnected with what's going on in our lives. He's not disconnected with what's going on in our country, of what's happening in our personal day-to-day lives. He is our high priest. Like, he is there for us to go to him and to communicate with him and worship him and have time, intimate time with him, and he wants us to do that. And after it says all the things that he's done and who he is, it says, now let us with confidence draw near. Let us go to this throne of grace boldly. We don't have to walk in with shame, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. And we always are having time of need. I mean, we talked about this earlier. There's always times that we can't do things on our own, and we learn that we can't do things in our own strength, and the Lord wants us to depend on him. He wants us to lean on him. And so when we do, we'll find everything we need and more. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. The same holy presence that when Psalms 114, it says, "Tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob." That same holy God is the same one that we're entering into this throne to have fellowship with him. And so that's an honor and something that, you know, we need to use that. We need to spend our time doing that, of what Christ has made available for us. And so, you know, in Psalm 132:8, it talks about how David is saying, "Arise, O Lord, and go to your resting place. You and the ark of your might, let your priests be clothed with righteousness, and let your saints shout for joy." Well, we know now, you know, he's saying, "Lord, go to your resting place and the ark of your might." You know, the Lord, he is in his resting place, but he gets to dwell inside of his people because of what Jesus has done. And now saints can rejoice because Jesus is that. When it says, "Let your priests be clothed with righteousness," now he is the priest. Like, we don't need, he is the highest priest that's clothed with righteousness that makes it able for us to be restored with the Lord and for him to be able to dwell in us instead of dwell in the ark. And so it's just good news. It's just this portion of scripture. There's so many other scriptures that just speak on this, but that's the Kingdom Corner.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I had more, but I got to start cutting down because I get too excited.
Hannah just starts to preach. And she starts to preach. We were at a cookout for her house, and she did the prayer before dinner. And she prayed for the food and then the fireworks. And I think her prayer for the fireworks was longer than the food. But then we saw, like, I think she operated in the prophetic anointing that night because we needed the prayer for the fireworks. So I was like, well, I think she felt the Spirit of the Lord lead her to pray for fireworks. So she was praying for it. Was kind of,
I really did. I'm not.
It was kind of like going back to what James said, like, we're not to take something for granted or just be lackadaisical, and we need to pray for that protection. So she did. She owned that night. And who cared if the chicken got cold? It was, we needed the prayer protection. I'm just picking on you. It was a good prayer. It was a good prayer. I was just picking.
I think it's starting to rub off on Ethan. He was praying at young adult group, and his prayers are getting longer and longer, and I'm like, oh, yeah.
two is becoming one more every single day.
That's what I said. They were like, man, Ethan. And then I said, hey, we're one. So
now I'm working on him. I'm working on him. You're working on him too, I think. We're trying to get him to teach on a Wednesday night one time.
I actually had a dream that he was teaching
it.
On a Sunday morning.
Look at this. Look at this.
Night. But then guess what happened? It was like this huge service. I don't know what was going on. Oh, I think it might have been Resurrection Sunday, actually. I don't know why he was teaching on Resurrection Sunday. But
go, Ethan. Woo!
But he was supposed to, and then something happened where, like, I don't know if people were getting baptized or I know it was really weird because it was like, you know, there was worship and all that. And then people like started taking like family pictures and stuff before the service was even over because like everybody was starting to wrap it up really early. Like it was probably the shortest service Bethel has ever seen. I don't know how, but it was like the shortest.
I definitely wasn't preaching that morning.
It was so short. And like, he wasn't the one announcing or anything. He was just going to get, like, you know, you were announcing or other,
yep.
Jason. Anyways, it just ended really soon. And he was like, yes, I didn't have to do it. And so because it ended so quick, like, he never gave the message. And he was like, yes. And I was like, no.
No.
So it was funny.
Yeah, that is.
And there was, like, so many people there, too. Like, probably the most people I've ever seen. So that's probably why he was like, oh, thank you, Lord.
The waves of people just kept flowing. My favorite story, though, when you talk about the prayers, do you remember that one time? And we tell this story every once in a while. I mean, we always – Hannah's a good prayer, so she prays very well, and I love her prayers. But the joke is sometimes if you want to eat fast, don't ask Hannah to pray for it because she will pray. And when she prays, she goes into intercession. And so, like I said, you might have 5 minutes of prayer over fireworks, which we didn't realize how much was needed. But there was one time I was coming into the sanctuary and they was in a prayer meeting, and I walked through the side door, and I think they had just started to pray, so I wasn't going to interrupt them. So I just stood at the door, took off my hat, and I was going to pray with them. 30 minutes later, I think I'm still standing there at the door praying. And I said, was this the dismissal prayer? Or was this just getting started? Like, what is this?
It was the dismissal.
It was good. It was a powerful prayer. But
I didn't know you were standing there. I think we saw you for a split second. But I had
arthritis in my right hip. Kept having to move around.
You were like, I'm going to have to watch when I come in here.
I should have just turned around, went back out the door, and went to the front.
Miss Australia is used to it. She walks through.
It's a good thing I didn't have to go to the bathroom or something like that. I was just coming to the sanctuary. But it's good. No, it is good.
I think what happens is, like, my whole life I've been surrounded by people who don't really like to pray in front of people.
Yeah.
And so it's not that I ever just, like, loved it, I guess. I was the one who just had to do it. Like, I just started doing it. I just started praying because nobody else would. And so the more that I've done it, because normally when I'm in prayer meetings and stuff, like, everybody's just kind of, you know how everybody just looks around and they're like, so I just step up and do it. And now I guess I've done it so much, there's no telling how long.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't feel like it's that long to me, but to everybody else, it does.
I guess it's like my preaching, it just endures. Brother Lyndon always said that his preaching's like the glory of God, it endures forever. And so that's how my preaching is too.
I think Kaylee's like my kind. I think she's got that long-winded.
Does she pray for fireworks too? I'm telling you, it's prophetic. It was prophetic because we needed it. I about got my head took off. The truck almost got hit. The kids went scrambling.
Okay, let me give some information. This wasn't the actual fireworks. This was like the bottle rockets and stuff, which we probably won't be buying again. Or at least make sure they get in the right hands.
It was fun. It was fun. I needed the exercise, running and cover. I felt like I was in a war movie. Like,
but you know, I didn't know they made bottle rockets that looked like actual fireworks.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like I thought they were just like little pew pew, like little
pew pew,
like little shots of, you know, like tiny ones, not bigger. Yeah. So,
I don't know if I ever heard a gun go pew pew or a firework.
I was starting to get a little nervous because it was going towards the bottle rockets going towards the house, and I'm like, this whole insurance thing, I don't know how this would work out.
Better be ready.
We're gonna have to move back into the field.
Yeah, move back into the field. It was so like it. Yeah, it was fun. It was a great night. The food was excellent. I don't know who made the brownies. Was there brownies?
Brianna made the brownies.
Oh my gosh, they were so good. The brownies were excellent there. And then Miss Kelly's brownies. I think it was Miss Kelly that made the brownies at Doe Valley that one time too. They were excellent as well. I just love brownies.
She did.
I love brownies. Well, all right. Well, we're booking right along in James. Are we going to go to Romans? Is that still the plan? Or is there another book is there an Old Testament book you'd like to go cover and then come back to New Testament?
I don't know.
Maybe we should hear from listeners.
Yeah.
Maybe if there's any listeners that want to chime in.
What do you all think?
Go to the book of Romans or go to an Old Testament book. We'd love to hear that. Maybe we'll get that out on the Facebook too. Maybe you can send that out on the Facebook later on. Do a little polling there and see what people want to do, if they want to go to Romans or an Old Testament book. Now, I'm just going to tell you, we can't do Psalms. We could do like a Psalm a week or something like that, or go to certain part of Psalms, but to do that many chapters we'd be 2027. Like, Jesus may come back before we get through Psalms.
It'd be so, like my prayers.
It would just endure.
It would endure forever.
But I mean, like, I don't want to say we just won't do Psalms, but I'm just going to, like, we're probably looking at something maybe a little bit more small. Did we do Genesis?
Mm-mm. Oh, not while I've been here.
We did Genesis on
before.
All righty.
I'd have to think about the Old Testament. I mean, I know some New Testament. I think Romans would be good. I almost said Romes.
Romes be good?
Oh, somebody said, would Isaiah be too long?
Isaiah would definitely be a fun book. It is a longer book. I mean, 60, what is it, 60, oh my gosh, how I forget this off the top of my head. I should know exactly. My phone's been freezing all morning long. Is it 61 or 66? I think it's 66 books.
66 is what I thought.
I think it is too. I'm trying to look just to confirm it. 66.
But then I didn't know if that sounded right.
66. Yeah, that's right.
Isaiah? Oh, they're laughing at intercession over the food.
Yeah.
Some food might need some intercession.
Yeah, Hannah needs to... Hannah intercedes over... She's a wonderful intercessor.
I don't know about Isaiah.
It's a longer book. I kind of need to... I would love to go through Isaiah. Maybe let's do this. Because I feel like I need some more personal time in Isaiah. So I don't want to... Let's hold off Isaiah until... At least till... Like, what we'll do is if you all want us to do an Old Testament book, we'll do it. I don't know. Let's just think. Let's see what everybody brings in there. Isaiah's got a vote. We'll see what the Facebook says as well.
See what the votes are.
Interaction there. I'm interested in seeing what book you all want to do next. And so, really, more than anything, we're not trying to do like in-depth studies per se. We're just trying to look at what the text is saying and getting it in us. Almost like we're reading the Bible together a little bit daily each morning when we get in there and just talking about it. So Isaiah's got a vote. 66, Brother Gary says, same as the Bible. It is. That's how I was sitting there thinking, it's the same as the books of the Bible, but for some reason it didn't sound right. But Isaiah does have 66 chapters, just like the Bible has books.
I would probably vote, I think either Isaiah or Jeremiah would be good for Old Testament.
Yeah.
Jeremiah is still long, too. It's 52. But
if we did Isaiah, we're looking at probably realistically a year.
Wow.
Probably 9 months to a year. So it would be a huge commitment.
If we start now, then by the time the baby gets here, we'll be done?
Probably not. Well, you probably wouldn't be finished with Isaiah by the time the baby's here.
I'm just thinking 9 months, but actually it'll be less than 9 months. Yeah. So.
We would be finishing up somhere around Easter.
Oh, wow.
Resurrection Sunday.
We only have so long each morning, so
yeah,
that's true.
All right, well, let's just hear what people say. There's a vote, and Hannah's vote don't count. My vote don't count either. No, I'm just kidding. Our votes do count. We live in America. Our votes count. All right. All right. So Isaiah's got a couple of votes. Is there another book in the Old Testament that you all would want us to cover? Like, you know, I was thinking more like Jonah or something. But Isaiah would be an awesome one to do. So
it would be.
Yeah. Well, we don't have an answer yet for our first trivia question, Hannah. Miss Rachel Arms, I saw on the phone where she was calling in, but I could not get to the phone to answer because we had just come back on the air. So, you know, if that was you, Miss Rachel, I will be looking for your call to get that answer in. But at what time of the day was Jesus crucified? Yeah, that we'll just stick to that question. I was going to do two at one time, but I think that may get confusing. So we'll just do this one, and then we'll do that second one at the next break before Brother Bjork and Mr. Miller comes on. So Friday question number one, sponsored by the Sicilian Bank. At what time of the day was Jesus crucified? What book do you want us to cover next? We'll be right back here after the break on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. We are back. Welcome back in on this beautiful day in the neighborhood. What a day the Lord has made. July 19, 2024. Hallelujah. We're praying for Brother Gary Cox this morning. He says he's not feeling well. And then as well, Miss Megan, she's probably still in surgery for those who know Miss Megan. But she had her and Miss Sherry was in a wreck yesterday. And I think Miss Sherry's okay. I think Miss Megan's got a broken leg and maybe another thing or two. So we're just praying for them for a full recovery, nothing lingering, nothing internal, and just believing God for full healing and praising God for the protection And so I'm just going to believe God for all of them. So, Lord, we just thank you for Brother Gary. Lord, we thank you for the healing of the blood pressure. We ask you to guide the surgeon hands on Miss Megan, Lord, that you're going to protect and watch over her, Lord. And we just pray for all of our listeners this morning, Lord, for blessings on their day. We thank you for our children. We thank you for our children's children. And, Lord, we just give you all the praise, honor, and glory for this day that you have made. In Jesus' name, amen. It's a good day to be alive. Don't forget King VBS next week here at Bethel Fellowship. If you want to pre-register as well, you can. You know, Hudson Community's got one going on. Clarkson Community's getting in tonight, and so just a lot of great VBS is going on. So, no excuse not to have your kids somewhere learning about Jesus. What better way to spend
Breaker
your week?
Rock
months?
Beach.
Come on. Whenever the world around you is sinking sand, we stand on a rock that shall not be shaken. And that rock is the word of God that will not be moved. Hallelujah.
I have lyrics for days. There's a rock that stands the test of time.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Where the wind and waters rise. I have them.
Yep. I think Hannah sent me a video yesterday of a lady by the name of, can you help me out here?
Jackie Hill Perry. She's married, so I guess before it was Hill, and now she's Perry.
So she's hyphenated.
Jackie Hill Perry, yep.
But it was a good video. If you, it was really good. If you got her on your Facebook page, I think she shared it there. It was a really good video, and I think she said a lot of things there. Good. Brother Waleed, I think, had a lot of actually good things to say the other day as well. Just thought-provoking, you know. And I think what we do sometimes is we don't hear what each other's really trying to say. Yeah. We just kind of say, well, you're not saying it like I would say it, so I'm not going to hear you. But I think if we hear each other, I think the cry that's going on in the church right now, and this is where I see the Lord, he just restores things, and he always protects. Mm-hmm. And the thing that he's always going to protect is his word, because he doesn't value anything over his word. He holds his word at the highest esteem, and the word is the sure word that we have from the Father. Do I think that prophecy and words of wisdom and words of knowledge and all those things definitely have their place in the body of Christ? Absolutely. But I think all of them have to be accountable to the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, she was talking about biblical inerrancy, illiteracy. And I really do think that is probably the thing that is one of the... let me make sure I word this right. I'm filtering because I'm going to give a solution to the problem. I think that is the biggest problem in the modern day church is biblical illiteracy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a shame because we've never in the church had more access to Scripture than we do now.
Yeah,
we never had more access to resources to help us understand Scripture. I mean, we don't even have to speak Greek and Hebrew, and we can know what the Greek and Hebrew are saying. Like,
I think part of it, though, is because, like, in past generations, they were pretty good at discipling. Like, because families were more, like, they would orally tell, like, they would tell stories and teach them to their kids more, and there wasn't as many distractions around.
Absolutely.
So they would spend time, like, pouring in the word and, like, repeating, like memorizing, talking about it around. I feel like families and communities used to talk about the word more and learn it that way too, and teach in like outside of the church gatherings. And I feel like now it's a little bit opposite. Like for a while, it's been we learn in the church and we expect the pastors to like teach us everything, but we're only with them once a week. So then. Because there is a level of, like, learning how to read the Bible.
Sure.
And, like, learning how to study. And I feel like, you know, the ones who have already done it, like, the parents and the you know, ones that are seasoned, just even talking and explaining Scripture. And I'm not saying that doesn't happen anymore, but it just seems like it happens less.
Yeah. And really, I mean, this is to battle the biblical illiteracy or the biblical ignorancy that we do have in the body of Christ, and that's not mean stupidity or inability. That means we just don't know. It's a really easy fix on this one. We just start reading the Bible.
Yeah.
Like, and we let the Bible guide and dictate what we believe. And I know this is a harsh statement, but truth don't need you. Like, truth don't need your opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Truth don't even need you to understand it. Truth just has to have you believe it. Like, because truth stands alone. Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't understand fully the Trinity of the Godhead, but I see it. It's there, and I believe it. Like, does that make sense? Like, I don't fully understand, and it's just truth, and truth uh-huh. is going to be there. And
we have to know the facts, and that's what she was saying in the video. Like, how are we going to be able to test the prophecy if we don't know the word? Because the word has to be the plumb line that tests it.
Yeah.
So if we don't know the facts of the word, even if we, like, it's not, I think sometimes we complicate it and we think that we have to know, like, we have to have a deep interpretation for every single thing, and we have to be able to, like, write a book on every single scripture.
But we don't have to.
But, like, we just need to know what the scripture is and what it means.
Yeah.
So we can use it to test the words around us.
Because we're not to despise prophecy. We're supposed to love prophecy. We're supposed to embrace it. But it has to be held accountable to scripture.
Yeah.
And I do think in that, too, it has to be held accountable. Like, I was actually talking to somebody last night and talking about this. Like, and this is no way to... This is no way to be critical of prophetic people. Like, because I've operated in the prophetic. Hannah's operated in the prophetic. So we know prophetic anointing's real. And it's all these. But we also think, like, this is what I've seen too, though. And I'm just being honest. The prophetic crew has gone without accountability for a long time in the body of Christ. And they kind of got a free card to do whatever they want, say whatever they want. But... Hannah, if I preach truth 50% of the time, would you keep coming back to church?
Probably not.
Like, you're going to find somebody who's going to preach truth. And if we have prophetic people that's only prophesying truth 50% of the time, how is that different than some preacher who's preaching truth? Like, this is where I think accountability has to come, is that mm-hmm. because I think at the end of the day, it's not trying to get people to quit prophesying. It's get people to take the weightiness that prophecy should produce in us
mm-hmm.
and that we shouldn't just flippantly say stuff like, and words like, we're going to be held accountable for what we teach, what we preach, what we prophesy. We will be held accountable for that. And that's why we're not desirous to be teachers, because we're going to have a higher accountability. And everything I teach behind a pulpit, I'm going to answer for. Every word that I gave to prayer, I'm going to be held accountable for.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is even going back to what James, slow to speak and quick to listen sometime.
Yeah. So what do you think about, because I've been a part of a group, like a community group before, or I guess that would be what it would be.
Did you practice prophecy?
Yeah. Like, so everybody would sit in a circle and... there would be a time of prayer, like nobody would be talking. And I mean, it's kind of like what we do on Saturday night prayer, except we were just sitting down, just like instrumental playing, praying, complete silence. And then after like a time of prayer was over, then it would be like, okay, what did everybody hear? Like, what are you hearing from the Lord?
Mm-hmm.
And it was, like, intentionally for that, though. Like, yeah. it was intentionally for, like, prophetic time or whatever. But I feel like, sometimes when I wouldn't hear anything, I would be like, I don't, like, am I supposed to be hearing something right now? Like, it was almost like it was kind of quick. Because it was like, we took the time, we did that, and then people were speaking.
Yeah. I think in a lot of moments like that, we may be confusing words of wisdom and knowledge with prophetic words. I think, and sometimes in that, I think it could produce us more than the Holy Spirit. Like, all right, I'm going to be asked what I hear from the Lord. So this is what I'm feeling in my heart. But I do think, like,
most people, though, like, not everybody would say something.
Yeah.
Some people just, I mean, wouldn't have anything.
Sure.
Now, most people would see, like, a vision or a picture.
Yeah.
Like, not everybody would get a word. Like, and it seemed the ones who saw the picture or, you know, that it would confirm.
Did you have more, like, prophecy of looking forward or, like, things you're feeling like the Lord's doing right now?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it was more for, it was like force, usually force somebody in the room.
So is at what point, I think this is where we have to dive more into this, because I really don't think we've done a good job in the body of Christ always dissecting this fully. I think with prophecy, it is, prophecy is almost a forward-looking, like it's a forward thing. Words of wisdom and words of knowledge and even revelation is more present. Does that make sense? I hope that makes sense. Like for me, when Jesus said, go call your husband to that woman at the well, and he said, you have well said, because the man you're with, not your husband, you've had five before that. That's a word of wisdom. I mean, a word of knowledge. That's a word of knowledge. He's knowing stuff that he just, I don't think that's prophetic. We call that prophetic, but I don't think it is. Maybe it's under what I've said, the banner of prophetic, but really in reality, that is revelatory information from the Father into man to give them a word of knowledge about something they should not possess. And that does speak mysteries to that woman. That woman's like, whoa, whoa, he's told me everything I've done. But that's not a prophecy. That's not looking forward. And, does that make sense? And I think there's a difference there.
It does, but I learned this differently, like whenever I went through Old Testament prophets about, so I would kind of need to look back in to see about the fourth and four, mm-hmm. like the present and the future. Because it seems like there was still prophecy that was present too.
Yeah.
But I do get what you're saying with, I mean, I definitely believe that speaking to somebody's situation, that's the same word of wisdom that we see with Jesus and the woman with the well, woman at the well.
Well, I think, all right, so prophecy could include future. Now, I think prophecy, though, is prophesying or proclaiming. In that arena, if you want to look at the now, I think prophecy in the Old Testament would either always been forward visions coming, like Daniel, this nation's going to come, then this nation's going to come, this nation's going to come. But I also think there could be prophecy in the sense of prophesying, proclaiming, pronouncing that if you don't repent, this is what the Lord's going to do. So it is for the now. Like there's a now action you've got to do, but there's a consequence that's coming in the future if you don't. Does that make mm-hmm. sense? I think you could include that under prophesying, because that is the proclaiming, the preaching, the pronouncing. There we go. Which I think is all synonyms of prophesying.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think there is a distinction though between revelation for the now, like, and words of knowledge and words of wisdom, which I do kind of see under the banner or the umbrella of prophecies. But if you're never prophesying something that's coming to pass, are you a prophet? Like, I think these are the things we just have to hold each other accountable for, because mm-hmm. I'm held under accountability when I teach and when I preach. And whenever I pastor, I'm under accountability.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not doing my job, somebody's going to hold me accountable. And I think the same thing's got to be it for apostles, prophets, evangelists, anything, because we all have to come into agreement and come into unity and really operate in the fullness of what the Word's released us to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where it has to be. And not about control and dictation, because I even if I'm the senior pastor, I'm still held accountable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everybody's got to be held accountable. And I think that's what Waleed was saying the other day with, you know, just like you go back to 2020, how many words did we hear that wasn't even close to being right?
Yeah.
And some of them have apologized, some of them haven't. But, like, sooner or later, if we don't do something with these words that are being said to the rooftops that's not coming to pass and are actually just the opposite, what's unbelievers and other people in the body of Christ going to think? Like, it hurts the testimony. It hurts the church.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a real conversation. Like, it hurts the church when we keep throwing out these, like, Harold Camping and the he's coming back then, or 88 reasons Jesus is coming back in 88, we're prophesying. Like, we're declaring that, and it doesn't come to pass. That hurts us. And if we are not faithful to say, you know, we love the person that gave the word, but we think it was a wrong word,
and we don't think they really heard from the Lord, that's not bashing. That's not trying to be mean. It's just saying,
I do think, like, the more and more that I think through these things and scripture, I do think, like, the New Testament is just different. Like, you don't see, or I haven't seen people, like, calling themselves prophet.
In the New Testament?
Yeah.
You really don't. I mean, I agree.
And so I think when calling, like, the title, we should be careful with that.
Yeah.
It does seem like, I mean, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we see there's just things being poured out on all believers. Mm-hmm. And then there's giftings being in operation. And, I mean, I think the words of wisdom thing, that's available. I mean,
to anybody.
The Holy Spirit can do that at any time to anybody who has an ear to hear. But the thing would that be considered prophetic? Because it's like we're hearing, we're seeing something. You know, like that's where I kind of feel like it is the banner, but I don't think that makes you a prophet.
But could you also categorize it just, I'm walking in the Spirit?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like, I think
that's the most important thing.
Because if I'm walking in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit can use me however he wants.
Exactly.
And I think you said something very well there of, like, in the Old Testament, you had men who were...
They were responsible.
They were responsible to prophesy. They were running around with schools of prophets. Like Elijah and Elisha, the mantle that Elisha received from Elijah was probably the mantle for the leadership of the school of prophets. It would have represented authority. And he would have had a school of prophets under Elijah, and Elijah gave Elisha his mantle, and he did double the miracles because he had double the... But all that says there were schools of prophets. But in the New Testament, what's it say? And I think you said this point really well. In the last days, he will pour out his Spirit on all flesh. And what? Your sons and daughters will prophesy. It doesn't say your prophets are going to prophesy. It's actually said your sons and daughters are going to prophesy. And I know Ephesians 4 says this, but I do see it a little bit different. I think there's the apostolic anointing. I think there's the prophetic gifting. But I'm more concerned about the giftings in manifestation, because we do see where people are prophesying and people are praying and people are proclaiming, but I don't think they're running around calling themselves prophet so-and-so. And that's what Waleed said, is that, like, Waleed said he would see people leaving Bible college, and then, like, they've been at a Bible college for 2 weeks and they already have Apostle JoJo on the business card. And they never built anything. They never fathered one person. They're just taking the title.
Yeah. Well, I feel like you could really break this down. Like, if you wanted to make the distinctions of, like, what's prophecy and what's not, you could really start to try to break this down.
Yeah.
Break down what we have in Scripture.
Yeah, I think it could go. I think you could, and
because, like, I think I could think of some different examples that would be more for, even though it's for right now, it's also foretelling, like, for something that's going to happen later. Like, I could think of examples of that.
Yeah.
But then I can also think of examples that are more like you get that word of wisdom for somebody.
Yeah.
That's like a confirmation for them that they knew that was the Lord speaking it to them.
Greg Carwell asked, could the sons and daughters prophesying mean teach or lead? A child would lead them. I really do believe that prophesying there would be, let me go ahead and say something, Hannah. I want to look at this word real fast before I.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the word. I believe that means what it means, but.
Well, there is some synonyms that you can use. I'm not very good at saying that word. But I want to go here for just a minute. And it's Acts 2 that it's in, right? That my sons and daughters will prophesy. I want to look up that word in the Greek. That's what I want to do.
Is it
Acts 1 or Acts 2 or Acts 3, whatever it is? Somewhere in there.
Is it in Joel also?
It is. That's where they're prophesying from. I mean, that's where they're quoting from.
Joel 2, I know it's in.
Yeah, it's in Joel 2, too. Maybe I should just go there. Joel 2. I'm getting there. This is really bad radio. I apologize. Usually I'm pretty good about talking and looking, but I'm...
I'm sorry. I was looking, too, after we get here with the with this scripture. I was finding a scripture too.
Prophecy, it's the Hebrew word, a primitive to prophesy, speak, sing by inspiration and prediction or simple discourse, prophesying, making, make self a prophet. So really, prophesying is you're saying something under the inspiration. Now, that inspiration, I believe, for us is different than what came in the scripture. But prophesying
in the Old Testament.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it's being led by the Holy Spirit. And I think prophesying, now prophecy, like in the sense of like, this is where it's going to start to get broke down a little bit more. Like when we say prophecy, we're like the book of Revelation. It's forward. It's what's coming. Daniel was a prophet because he prophesied what's coming. I think in Acts chapter 2 and 1, whatever it's at, and then Joel 2, whenever it says in the last days, your sons and daughters will prophesy, I think he's talking about they're going to be filled with the Holy Ghost, being led by the Holy Ghost, and be able to proclaim by the Holy Ghost. But we all have that ability. Like you were saying, anybody can have a word of wisdom. Anybody can have a word of knowledge. Anybody can prophesy if you're filled with the Holy Ghost and a believer.
Well, and Paul says, I would...
All that you all prophesy.
Because it's the edifying. So that's why I feel like it's not limited to the foretelling. But in the scripture, a lot of times it is the foretelling. Like when we're talking about prophecies that we have on the shelf that like we're waiting for it to happen, like those are foretelling. But I do think it's more than that, personally.
I think there's like an umbrella that's formed. But like I do think like...
Because I think that's why it's available to all of us. Because not all of us are going to prophesy like an event that's to come.
Yeah, and then maybe then I think there are your prophets maybe who are prophesying the future thing, but I actually don't. I don't know like if you're gonna go around calling yourself a prophet. I think you do have to be able to prophesy correctly, and I think there should be accountability to the words that we give. And Hannah's a note taker; she's a writer. So if you get a word, do you write it down?
Usually. I keep it on my phone, though, because I'm bad at keeping up.
Do you see, do you write who said it to?
Usually, yeah.
Because that's one thing. Do you think it's too far?
I mean, I'll be honest. You've given me a prophetic word. You probably don't even remember half the words you give people because you, I mean, you have so much going on all the time. But it was like whenever we first started coming back to church here and I wrote it down. Mm-hmm. And I saw it come to pass. It wasn't like a, this event's going to happen. It was like, this is what you're worried about right now. And the Lord is saying that this is going to happen. Like, you're worried that this is going to happen. But when you keep following him, this is going to happen. And that thing did happen.
Yeah, I actually do remember. It was on worship night, right?
Maybe.
I think it was on a worship night. And I remember a lot of the words I've given. But like... But see, I think this is where it's different at. And this ain't a prideful statement. Please don't hear it. Like, we've had prayer meetings where I've given 15 to 20 words in one night. Like, the Lord just pouring out his spirit, and you're hearing things for people, and you're praying. But actually, I don't think every one of those are prophetic words. Some of them is words of wisdom. Some of them are words of knowledge. And I think that's just being obedient to the Holy Spirit. But I, in no way would I sit there and say this or that. Like, I'm just Aaron. I'm just a son of God. I'm just filled with the Holy Spirit, and he's my God. And this is where I want to be careful at with the giftings and stuff like that, that it doesn't become prideful to us.
Yeah.
And then we isolate ourselves into one camp or we do this. And like, but at the end of the day, like, I don't prophesy absent of the Holy Spirit.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
and that's how I, that is how I test it. Like, you know, it is hard though. It's hard sometimes because you need to have the word to be able to test it. But with the words of wisdom thing, like, she didn't probably know the word, like the woman at the well. She probably didn't. She might not have known a whole lot of the law, but it was something revealed that nobody else would have known.
Well, but she did know it enough. She did know it enough.
She knew. She talked about the.
This is the one prophets, we've been waiting for.
The Messiah. So she had knew
been.
That.
Yeah, she was waiting for. Like, this is the one we've been waiting for, guys. He told me all things. This is the prophet. So I think.
And knowing, I mean. Knowing it, some is better than none, but I definitely think the more that we know, the more that we'll be able to test it.
Yeah, and this is, again, not to get anybody, like, I think we just have great responsibility if we're going to preach, teach, lead, Sunday school, prophesy, whatever it is in ministry, we really do need to know the word.
Yeah.
and we need to get into the Word, and we're accountable to the Word. And this is what I've been saying a lot lately. The Word of God never repents. We do. The Word of God will never change. We do. And if we keep having to make excuses for what we believe because we can't back it up in the Word, it may be time that we start to check what we believe.
Check and change some things. Dang, we're almost out of
time.
And I had a question about, we talked about Lazarus. But
we got 1.5 minutes. Go ahead and read it.
Well, we talked about how in the story in Luke with the rich man and Lazarus, how when he is in the place of hell, or it might say Sheol, but and he says to Abraham that, let me go back so I can warn them. And then Abraham says, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. But what do they mean by that? Like the word? Like,
yeah,
the law?
Because they would already had the word. I mean, Jesus, Paul, Peter, all them, they were quoting the scripture constantly. Mm-hmm. Like what Jews used as the word was already there. And I think Abraham was telling them, they do have the word already there, warning them. Like, you don't have to go back. You failed to hear the word. Let them hear the word, kind of deal. And
because he says they have Moses and the prophets.
Yeah,
so,
which would mean the law,
the word,
and the prophets.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have the law and the prophets, the word of God.
So,
already
I mean,
there.
That supports what we've been saying.
Absolutely.
This whole morning. So.
Absolutely. I mean, well, Jesus himself said, look, in John 14, I mean, we always remember, Jesus said, I'm not even going to be the one to judge you. The word's going to judge you. The word that I say is your judge.
And
it's
it actually,
judge.
And then it says here, I know we only have 1 minute, but he said, no, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. Like, they'll be more likely to hear from someone, a person that has been through this experience. And then Abraham said to him, if they will not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead.
That's right. And you know what? That came to pass because the Pharisees had law and had the prophets, and they studied it their whole life, and they could not hear it. And even though somebody died and rose again, they still couldn't hear it. I mean, Jesus died, rose again. Lazarus died and rose again, and they still couldn't hear it. They couldn't hear the word, and they couldn't hear it. Even
but this
after.
Is a different Lazarus that rose.
It would have
right?
been, but this is a different. Yeah, you're right, but it's the same principle.
Yeah,
like,
it's the same principle.
If you can't hear the word of God, you're probably going to struggle, because people say that kind of stuff like all the time. Like, they just need to see this, and they see this. And Jesus actually said, you're a generation that seeks miracles and signs and wonders. The only miracle and sign one of them gives you the sign of Jonah.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot there.
Well, that was we're out of time.
We are.
We're out of time.
That's is a good morning. We'll have to just get, we'll finish some more on Monday, and we'll send that out on Facebook to get what book we're going to confirm. Right now we've got Proverbs in the mix. That would be another long, hard book to do, but it would be a good one. And Isaiah. So is there an Old Testament book you would like us to cover, or should we go right into the book of Romans? So there is an answer for that first trivia question. Miss Elizabeth got it correct. Third hour of the day. Friday's question number two, sponsored by Higdon Land Surveying. On what street was Saul of Tarsus living when God sent Ananias to him? We'll be right back here after the break here on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network.
Welcome back to our final half hour of the week and of the day. Jason Miller here with you, taking you to the 9 o'clock hour as we close out a week of Mornings with Box 2. And we have with us on Friday Mr. Charles Bjork. Brother Bjork, how are you today?
Excellent. Glad to be with you. Enjoyed hearing the message there at the end I picked.
You picked it up there. I missed the last bit of it because I got out of the car, had a few things to do there at the school, and then kind of had to walk over here. So I missed the tail end of the conversation there. But nonetheless, it's been a good morning and a good week here at Box 2 Radio. How are you? You all doing up in Virginia there?
Mary's having some difficulties with her gout problems, so she needed. She's going to stay in bed for a while. So
yeah,
it's better. But other than that, we're in pretty good shape.
That's a good plan of action, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, and on the science front, how's things going there? What do you got for us today? We'll just dive right in.
I was going to mention again the double meteor shower. I mentioned it last week, but I didn't go into a lot of detail. But,
right, yeah.
I got a barrage of questions after the program. I was delighted to see how many people are listening from all over the country.
Astounding. Right.
Anyway, we have periodically we have this happen. Mm-hmm. We have, most people have seen meteors in the night sky. Sometimes a little trail will go across the sky, and it's always interesting when that happens. But every once in a while, we have a shower where a whole bunch of them come,
mm-hmm.
and on the 30th, we're going to have two showers all in the same night.
Wow.
There could be asteroids all over the place bombing into the atmosphere. So little microscopic asteroids making lots of pictures in the sky. So
yeah.
And people wonder, where's all this stuff come from? And, periodically we get visited by a comet.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a meteor that's been ignited because of the chemistry and so on board, and it hits the atmosphere, and of course it makes a big shine because it usually has a lot of color associated with it. So these showers, you have lots of them, and so these comets decay,
right?
And they're comets, and then they decay into little things, and of course they get drawn into the Earth's gravitational field and come bombing down through the atmosphere, and they usually burn up in the higher altitudes.
Right.
Once in a while, a rock will hit the ground and so on. But anyway, they're always really entertaining. And so the sky watching for these things is a big business. They got all kinds of advice. You get a comfortable chair, get where you can go, try to get away from anywhere where there's a lot of bright lights.
Sure. Out in the rural area.
Yeah, that's right. And the area, if you've got where you are, they have the mountain not too far away, and that helps a little bit. So, the important thing is to get the eyes accustomed to dark. And you don't have to have a telescope. You don't have to have binoculars. Usually they don't help very much. But they cause more trouble than they're worth. And it's just the naked eye is really mm-hmm. the best tool to see these things. And they have, of course, there are a lot of colors associated. And then these double showers is very rare. They're going to be there's going to be a lot of them in the sky. There's going to be, there's going to be from somewhere between 5 to 25 per hour of asteroids for most of the night. So,
yeah, that's a pretty good rate.
So it's going to be great for everybody to see. And so that's the thing. You have these asteroids that break up, or the comets will break up, and then all those pieces come flying through the sky, and some of them pre-ignited by the upper atmosphere. The atmosphere of Earth goes way beyond what people normally know. And as soon as it hits that, there's friction, and these things light up. And they have various chemicals on board that cause them to be bright and red, blue, green, all different colors. So
yeah.
It's kind of entertaining. So anyway, I had that to look forward to on the 30th. It should be a good time.
And that's July 30th, right?
Pardon me?
That's July 30th, right?
Yeah. Yeah, July 30th. What did I say, August?
No,
yeah.
You just said the 30th, so I just wanted to clarify.
August has got another, there's another event coming in August.
That's right. That's the reason I ask, because I knew there was a shower in August every year, the Leonids, right?
Yeah.
And so I just wanted to double check there. But, yeah, so we'll get the double shower on July 30th, and then another one sometime in August, right?
Right, August the 25th.
Okay.
And it's going to be a fair amount of late night entertainment.
Yeah, have you heard any information about when's the peak viewing time? Is it a little early for that, or do we have any idea?
It's going to be, there isn't really a peak.
Okay.
Because of the quantity of these things, it's going to be steady. It's going to be more notable, of course, when the sun has long set.
Yeah.
And the sky is dark.
So I guess it really just depends on when the what the moon phase is in, right?
Yeah, I don't know if the moon's going to be much of a problem for us this time. I haven't heard. Nobody's warned us about that.
So. No full moon or anything like that.
Right. Okay. I think we're gonna have a lot of good viewing opportunity, and of course, the last time we had anything was just earlier in the month, and I remember getting up at 4 in the morning. Going down to so I could see the planets all lined up in a nice straight line.
Yeah.
So we got another big alignment coming for that date.
Okay. A lot going on up there.
Pardon me?
I said there's a lot going on up there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of excitement in the sky here.
Yeah.
Skywatch have got a great time for coming. So, anyway, that's another planet. When we get closer to it, I'll talk more about that. But I went to the last planetary climb. I got up at 4 in the morning, ran down to get, there was 8 planets you could see. And, of course, even Pluto was in the mix, but you'd never see it. And you had to have a super telescope to see the Uranus and Neptune anyway.
Right. Yeah.
But I did, Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, they were all there, supposedly. The only one I could see was Jupiter.
Well, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this here. How far would you have to drive out of town or whatever to get a viewing of the meteor shower coming up? Or is it visible from your house?
I got a pretty good viewing area. The place where I went down to look for the planetary alignments, the best thing. I have a doctor who has an office down there, and there's a big field and a big pond and a big open area. So it's a great place to do sky watching.
Okay.
And it's fairly dark because all the places that are around it at night they don't have lights on.
All right, well, good.
Of course. So it's a good place, and I've gone there several times to see things, so I was really looking forward to seeing the alignment, and so disappointed when we had high atmospheric clouds.
Right, yeah.
And just enough clouds, so you knew it was there, but you couldn't see it, and so I saw the moon, I saw Jupiter, and I knew all the rest of them were there, but I couldn't see them.
Yeah.
We won't have that problem with this double meteor shower. It's going to be no way to hide that unless you have bad, really bad weather.
Right.
So,
yeah. Well, hopefully not. Hopefully we'll have a clear night, clear skies, and be able to check that out.
Right. Now we had a real problem recently. We had a Falcon 9 rocket went up with, they typically dump a whole bunch of Starlink satellites in orbit when they go. And this one took 20 satellites up with it, and it had a terrible failure. And they could not get those satellites out where they belonged, and they had to trash the whole thing. So all 20 satellites were lost. And
wow.
Really sad story, because that Falcon 9 is a super reliable thing. One of them, 65 times it was launched. It's a very good product there of SpaceX. So it's kind of, a lot of research has been going on because they found so many exoplanets around other stars, and they found some that are Earth-like in size. And now they're searching them diligently to try to find some evidence that there's chemicals in the atmosphere to suggest that maybe there's a life form that's emitting them. And so, in the process of doing that, they've had to redefine what a planet was, because planets used to be those things that go around the sun.
Right, yeah.
And now we've got 6,000-7,000 of them that are around other stars.
Oh,
so they had to change the definition. What is a planet really? And so I was real excited. And I said, I have to get Pluto back in the lot then. And they said, nope.
What have they got against Pluto?
I guess they were so disappointed when they found out that the size of Pluto was much smaller than they estimated. Pluto's covered got some methane ice on it.
Okay.
That ice gets in its poor atmosphere. It makes the planet, of course, it gets the starlight and Jupiter light and everything else, and you get a lot, appearance of large, even a powerful telescope will look at it and see that it looks like it's got an atmosphere and so on around it, and that the planet, therefore, is bigger than it. But then when they really get down, it took a flyby going not too far, you know, when the Voyager, looking backwards, could tell that the real planet that was there was awfully small, smaller than Mercury.
Oh, no.
So that was a terrible, terrible discovery. So anyway, so they've had to go work out the whole definition of what a planet is, and that's probably been useful. We've got a couple of asteroid belt objects that are called minor planets. Eris, for example, is a minor planet.
Okay.
They demoted Pluto to a minor planet, but that still annoys a lot of us old timers.
Yeah, right.
Well, we have big news, and this is a bombshell.
Okay.
Elon Musk is moving the entire SpaceX facility to Texas. I mean, lock, stock, and barrel.
I have heard this, yeah.
Yeah, and the thing that finally drove him to this was California's legal systems.
Yeah.
And they passed this new LGBTQ law, and it just infuriated him. And so he's moving the whole system to his – he has a launch facility in Texas already that he uses. And
what's the name of that place called? Where he's got his set up in Texas there. I can't think of the name of it. It's right on the tip of my tongue. It's a really clever name, but anyway, I'll see if I can't Google it.
Yeah, it's they may come back to me here shortly.
All right,
but anyway, yeah, you're right, and it's a good facility there. Now he's going to have a lot more activity out of that facility, and one of the things that drove him there, the reason he's so sensitive about this LGBTQ law. Is that he has a transgender daughter.
Yeah.
He's sent to a very big university, and she has publicly announced how much she hates him and doesn't want anything to do with him. And I don't know what the interaction has been over the years. I'm sure he was disappointed to find her orientation in this way, but nevertheless. They passed laws that say that you can't even inquire about your student in high school what their gender, and that just finally that broke him and he said, okay, we're out of here.
Yeah.
And so he's moved the whole thing to Texas. Texas got a big bonus.
Yeah, there's a lot of employees going that way.
And, that's right.
Starbase, that's what it is. Starbase, that's the name of his...
Starbase, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Thank you.
Now, I understand he's moving Twitter or whatever, X or whatever it's called now, too, right?
Yeah. There's not going to be anything left in California that has Elon Musk's name on it anywhere, I don't think.
Yeah. Wow.
I don't even know if he'll launch anything out of their thing anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a big blow to California because there's no telling how many employees altogether there.
Oh, yeah.
And the tax revenue and everything.
There's a lot of those things. You know, it takes millions of dollars to launch those things.
Right.
a lot of income is going out the tubes there. They're going to be sorry about that. But anyway.
As the old saying goes, you go woke, you go broke, I think.
That's right. I think that's a really good saying.
Yeah.
And, the Bible gives us some really good advice. And there's no way we're going to fool it. The Lord is man and woman he created.
Yep.
He's given us a whole universe to explore, and so I'm happy to see that he's being very diligent about getting that done. And a lot of stuff his work with NASA has been a delightful thing for especially for us old guys are trying to see big things happen before they croak.
And
I'm really excited about all that. I've had put a lot of investment in all that myself over the years, so I'm really happy to see it all come to fruition. I was so happy to see the Voyagers get their systems turned back on so they could continue.
Right.
Quick
question. I just happened to think of it. Have we heard any news about the Boeing astronauts that are stranded up there? Are they still there?
Boeing is confident that they're going to get them back. They got to the end of this month, and if worse comes to worse, they could even go into August.
Okay.
And there's ways to get them back the hard way, and they'd rather not do that. They'd rather just let the Starliner be the delivery system. But
right.
It's going to be a real nightmare if they have to do anything else.
Right.
So
I was just kind of curious about that.
Yeah.
Didn't mean to derail you there, but.
No, that's all right. Anyway, I'm excited about the stuff that they're going to do, and I know they'll get this problem with it. You know, the Falcon 9 is so super reliable. This has got to be a fluke problem.
Right.
And I don't think they're going to have any problems in the future after they get to the bottom of this.
So
anyway, there was a whole bunch of stuff came out. Turns out that we had an astronaut that was supporting the GLAAD program, which is transgender development of students in college and so forth. And that was a sad story because she wasn't supporting in any way of the transgender movement. She just said she donated to the GLAAD program,
right.
the student development program. And but they made a big fuss about that in conjunction with the daughter's commentary about her father.
Yeah, about Musk.
So, unfortunate.
Yeah.
And so they wanted, and they've got a couple of other problems now that have risen. And and that is, you know, the last Starship launch out of the Cape really tore up the space pad pretty seriously.
Okay.
And they wanted to determine how in the world did you do so much damage to the thing. And they grounded the whole Falcon 9 fleet as a result of the launch till they got to the bottom of this thing and find out why it is they lost the 20 Starlink satellites. But there are a lot of people all over the world, including the Ukrainians, that depend on that Starlink system. And so it was bad because the image starts to put a bad taste in your mouth about Starship for us in the beginning before it gets to do anything. And the other thing they're worried about Starship is when they do Artemis 2, 3, and 4, they're going to be landing a fairly powerful spaceship on the moon.
Okay.
And they're really concerned about the effects it's going to have on the lunar ocean. I call it that.
Yeah.
It's just, it turns out they found a lot of water on the moon. It's embedded in the soil, and it's it comes from the from these things like we're going to have with this asteroid storm. The moon gets bombed all the time, and you can tell by the huge craters that are all over the place. And a lot of those things bring water to the moon, and it gets ground up into the soil. And so the scientists are dying to go and study that and see what the, you know, does it flow and what does it look like. And they're worried about Starlink, a spaceship going up there, the Starship, and screwing up the whole world up there at the moon. So that's a big deal right now. And so they don't know what they're going to do about that because you can't put a large anything big on the moon, and we're going to have a whole base there.
Right.
You know, the Chinese have already got a base there that they are using for their moon craft, and we're going to have a big one too. It's a good place, and one of the reasons is there's no sun on the bottom of the moon. It gets very little sunlight.
Right.
And so if you want to use laser communication with your instruments around the moon and so forth, back and forth between Earth and the moon. It's a good place to be, and that's, you know, why we're interested in it, why the Chinese have put a little base there, and we're going to have a big base there. And and of course, there's going to be a lot of starships landing, because it's a very economical way to transport stuff. And so they really want to get some scientists up there to understand if this is going to badly affect the what little flow there is of moisture between the particles on the moon's surface.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
So
it just seems like there's a lot going on. And I guess, you know, some of the little problems and, you know, I don't know if you call them setbacks, but I guess that's part of the growing pains of just this humongous venture of setting these bases up on the moon and different things like that. I assume you're going to have issues now and then, you know.
Sure.
Yeah.
And then, of course, it's real exciting to think and contemplate the mission, the bases we're going to have on Mars.
Right.
And I just hope they get busy far enough so I can enjoy them before I don't have to watch it from heaven.
That might be a better viewing point anyway.
It could be. Yeah. And there's certainly a lot more information available there, probably.
Well, anyway, I hate to end on a bad note, but I have something I want your opinion on. I got a email yesterday from the ACT, the college entrance exam, and it states that in the spring they are going to make the science portion of the test optional. And so I was really set, really disappointed in that. And you can opt out of the science portion. So
I can see scaling it back. If a guy's going to go and study poetry or something, you know, you know, you want to minimize how much science he has to have, but you take it out of the whole program. That's, you know, that's called propagating ignorance.
I hate it.
The university is famous for propagating ignorance.
So, yeah, I got an email that said they're going to shorten the test some, about an hour shorter, and you can opt out of the science if you want to. So,
wow.
Yeah, that's disappointing.
Well,
I knew they would. I knew you wouldn't take the news very well.
Yeah. But you know that, and we can't. The Falcon 9 is very rarely has a problem.
Yeah.
364 times in 14 years we've launched it, and there's only been 2 failures.
Wow, that's great.
And so it's, you know, when it comes to getting your money's worth, taxpayers are delighted.
Yeah. That is amazing.
And Elon Musk has brought a great benefit here for NASA and the rest of the world with this capability, and so we won't see.
He seems to be much more active than the other guys, Bezos and Branson.
Yeah.
There seems to be almost a sideshow at this point. I mean, he's he eclipsed.
Yeah, and you can see how he built such a big and powerful company because of the way he, you know, people complained when he took over Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
But if I had to choose a businessman, I'd be prone to select him.
Absolutely, yeah. He seems to have a good balance of common sense and business smarts as well. So
yes, he does. And you know, there isn't many complaints among the engineers that work for him and the scientists. It's a pretty happy place to be working.
I would think so. You can definitely think outside the box there.
Do good work, you'd be rewarded for it. I remember that. I used to live in that domain myself as a business. So
that's amazing. All right. Well, we're out of time again.
Yep.
Flew by just as always. So I just wanted to tell you, have a great weekend. I would really appreciate you always coming on for us. It's always a blessing.
I'm glad to do it. It's a real exciting thing now that I'm doing so little work in those science.
Well, we appreciate we appreciate you keeping us up to date here.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I go past a school like similar to Bethel on my way to church every day, every Sunday.
Yeah.
And I kind of drool a little bit. Once in a while, they'll bring group over to the church, you know.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah, that's good.
I certainly enjoyed that time as a teacher, and I love it when we have students coming up here.
To visit, yeah. That's great.
And the student from Regent that's doing so well,
yeah.
and she was a good student at Bethel, and so.
Just keep them moving on.
See, yeah.
All right.
Keep them coming.
That's right. All right. Well, you have a great weekend. And to our listeners, you have a great weekend as well. Thank you so much for tuning in and making Mornings with Box 2 part of your day. Have a blessed weekend. See you back here Monday morning, 7 a.m., Box 2 Radio Network.